refreshing change. A host that speaks his mind. This is the Gary Doyle Show on 570 News. Now, special guest host, Mike Farwell.
.106 as we welcome you back to the program. If you are a regular listener to the Gary Doyle Show, you will know that it is with relative frequency that Gary will review books, talk to you about many that he has read, sometimes bring on authors to talk about those books they have written. And what you may not know is that off the air, Gary and I spend quite a bit of time discussing books and literature in general. He is a voracious reader. And he completes far more books than I could ever hope to. I refuse to acknowledge that as a sign of greater intelligence on his part. I like to say it's just he's got more time. I like to tease him about being semi-retired, even though he still comes to the office on occasion and does this show. And I love getting those shots in when he's in Saskatchewan and can't even hear them. So don't you dare tell him what I say in his absence. But we are going to move into a discussion about a book, and it's got a very nice local tie because the woman who has written it hails from Waterloo. She is Marcy Italiano, and she joins us today in studio. Great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Before we even get to the brass tacks of the book, which is Spirits and Death in Niagara, I would be remiss if I didn't talk to you about the twins, a couple of months now only, and what's life like in the Italiano household?
It's a little bit crazy. We had identical boys 2 months ago, and 2 days before they were born, the book was officially released in the States, so I'm trying to balance the two new babies and trying to get some promotion done for the book, and I'm still working from home on websites, so it's absolutely insane. But, of course, you know, I think the kids are cuter than ever, so.
Of course, and you got two boys, which is just a great, it's a big win for you, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, yeah, I got a house full of men. I got to make sure I leave the toilet seat up, you know, in a few years.
And so in between web designs, maintaining your own website, which has a number of great features on it, writing books, going on promotional tour for your book. Do you find time to sleep at all with the
Sometimes.
Twins?
Yeah,
once in a while?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I catch an hour or two here or there.
Right.
That's all I need.
Yeah. Spirits and Death in Niagara is not your first foray into literature, but I think the subject matter is to a degree. You're talking about the paranormal. What took you in this direction?
Actually, I was at a conference in Baltimore, and I was shopping my first book, Pain Machine, or I was selling it around, and I was walking around the dealer's room and came up to a table full of ghost books. I was flipping through them, and the publisher asked me if I liked reading ghost stories, and I said, well, I like writing them. And after a long conversation and knowing my location close to the border, she asked if I'd be interested in doing the book. So within the month, I had a contract sent to me, and I was given 1 year to complete all of these Niagara Falls ghost stories. And they wanted half and half U.S. and Canada stories. But if you've been to Niagara Falls, you know a lot of the tourist attractions and a lot of the actions on the Canadian side. So we added a second half, the death stories, to include a lot of the American side, especially the American Falls specifically, where a lot of deaths have happened and stunts as well. Over the years, so it's a twofold book.
Now, when you talk about writing ghost stories, we're not talking about works of fiction in this case. You are documenting actual sort of paranormal experiences, if you will, that happen to be in the Niagara area.
Right. It's more like journalism. I tried doing interviews, a lot of history research, my goodness, finding out about the past of the area, the War of 1812, a lot of the people who've lived down there, and going down to the locations last summer, we went down there a number of times to get pictures and talk to people, go to the locations. I'm not an investigator. I didn't have all the funky tools and nothing, you know, looking for energies or anything like that. It's just straightforward, real stories that people have either told or that I've found.
Any creepy, if you will, experiences when you visited some of these locales?
Well, some of the people were creepy, but seriously, Fort George, we went on a night ghost tour that was led by Kyle Upton, and he does a great job with the ghost tours, and I did have a bit of a funky feeling around the middle area where the hospital used to be during the War of 1812. I just felt sick for a little while, and once we got past that area, I was fine. But that's the extent of, I didn't see anything or nothing touched my shoulder, you know, nothing very overtly ghostly about my experiences.
I am an amateur at best when it comes to ghost stories, and you're talking about sort of the investigative journalism sorts of things you were doing with this, and that's where I come at it from as well. I'll follow some stories and find out, you know, about certain things, but clearly, as I said, I'm an amateur at best. I've skimmed the surface of a few stories, most of them here in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. What kind of an appetite is there on the part of the reading public when it comes to these sorts of stories?
Well, I think with the Niagara Falls book specifically, because it's such a touristy area, and especially in the summer, a lot of people will go down there, a book like this, because there's directions to get to all of these places, and some of them, like Victoria Park, where the gazebo is, a lot of people have been there. So they can look up the stories and kind of put two and two together. There's also a lot of people who are either skeptical believers like myself, like, oh, well, she says there's something down there, I'm going to go check it out and make sure nothing's there. Or you have diehard believers that can't wait to get down there and see if they can feel something. And they're the ones that I feel are most amusing because they have had such high expectations that I know some people will almost create the feeling themselves just because they're so jacked up. And I think that's where a lot of ghost stories come from, is just people's reactions and being so excited about ghosts. So I think there's a good market for it. And I've already done a radio show down in the States in Kentucky, a paranormal show. And it was all paranormal investigators that were ready to drive north.
So. Is that where these stories tend to come from? Are they passed down, in some cases even verbally, from generation to generation?
Some of them are. There are some Indian legends regarding the actual falls and the Devil's Hole that have been passed down, and some of them are more recent. A lot of the stories from the War of 1812, and I think if you look at the locations of where the war took place, it's very easy to come up with ghost stories related to them, including a story regarding Isaac Brock and the woman that he had fallen in love with and how she's still sobbing and crying for him, and I wonder how much of it is made up, how much of it is based on experiences. There have been psychics going to these places that I've found stories that these psychics have told, and half of them I don't even know if they're real or not. So it's all, yeah, to say it's nonfiction for a ghost story.
Fair enough. You know, I find the location, too, one of the fascinating sidebars, if you will, to this book, because, as we've already talked about, Niagara Falls is very much a tourist destination, and mm-hmm. it advertises itself as such. What does the tourism industry in Niagara Falls think of a book that talks about all of the spirits and death in the area?
There's a wide range of reactions. Some of the businesses advertise their ghosts. The Old Angel Inn has newspaper articles up. They boast about their ghost. They talk about Captain Colin Swayze, where he stays up in the captain's quarters, and you can, you know, rent that room for a night, but do it, you know, book it way ahead of, in advance. It's booked so much, so people can go and try to see this ghost. They brag about it. Other places, and I always use the Buttery for an example because it was just so funny when I went down there. They try to hide it. There are a lot of people who don't want to entertain the idea of ghosts at all. They just want to sit and have something to eat in a nice place. We asked a waitress about ghost stories, and she wouldn't talk about them. I went up to the bar to talk to the bartender. I asked if he had any stories to tell, and he said, sure, and leaned over, and I asked, well, what about ghost stories about this place? And he walked away saying he was too busy. So you have a whole wide range of reactions depending on where you are and whether or not they're advertising their ghost stories. And again, you're not sure which ones are made up, so they don't want you to know if they're fake. And
and that's part of the investigation, I guess, that comes in with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, sifting through what's real and what's less than real, shall we say. So many interesting stories that I glanced through when I took the book home for the weekend, including those involving the Maid of the Mist. And you talked about, you know, the people that go over the falls in a barrel, for example, the number of stunts. And then those spirits are left behind. And that's part of this whole haunting that's in the Niagara area.
when you read about and find out about all of the crazy things that people have done in and around the falls, and then you go on the Maid of the Mist, and you're at the bottom of the falls, especially the Canadian side, the Horseshoe, and you look up, and you can't hear anything but the crashing of that water, and you see how immense it is, and you think, these people are completely insane. And in the book I've written, of course, the death stories, the ones who didn't make it, but even the people who did these stunts and did make it, it's absolutely baffling. And when I was doing this paranormal show, they asked, you know, are the falls themselves haunted? Well, I don't know. You'd have to sit at the bottom of the falls and wait for a ghost to appear. The only real story about the falls themselves is the Maid of the Mist, which comes from the Indian legends. So that's the only real ghost story about the falls, at least at the bottom where most people have died. Nobody hangs out down there, really.
Right. That was one of my favorite segments. And you talked about the buttery, and I get the sense that that maybe was one of your favorite experiences. But if I can keep you through our commercial break, I want to talk to you more just about some of the other experiences you had in compiling this book.
Absolutely.
It is called Spirits and Death in Niagara. Its author is Marcy Italiano. She's from Waterloo, and she's in studio with us this afternoon. We'll talk more about the book itself and also a bit of the upcoming promotional things that Marcy will be doing in the next few days here in the region. It's 1:17, Mike Farwell for Gary Doyle. You're listening to 570 News.